Well, welcome to another episode of This Is Silly with the Wooligans. Mitch, Brad.
Hello.
Bird.
Yo.
Brad, who do we got today?
We have a special guest. He is one of the top five USL goaltenders to watch in 2017, Dave Allegoric.
Hello. Hello.
We did make sure he said his name right before we came on.
I'm glad you said top five as well. Just wanted to remind everybody.
It was in no particular order, but we're sure you're number one.
I mean, I was second on the list. That was kind of disappointing. But
yeah. Well, you were number two last year. So maybe
it's
nonsense, right? You've won playoff games.
That's right.
The guy who's number one has not won a single playoff game.
There we go. That's what I'm saying.
I don't want to split hairs here, but it's right though.
No, that's a good math.
I don't think it was a numerical order list. I just think it's
these
an honor.
These are the times where I shut my mouth, so I don't say anything.
It's an honor just to be nominated.
I don't start tweeting at USL again.
Again.
This
is a.
I tend to tweet out heavy.
Yeah, this is what we're talking
about.
It's
like there's a note. Can I see you in my office?
Then I'm left out of lists, and
it's
all right.
So yes, we do have a guest, and he is our new goalkeeper.
Now, to be fair, every time we've had a goalkeeper on, they've left.
Everybody left. So
valid point. But we need to stop this, so, you know.
No, we've got a legit number one now, and nothing against the guys in the past. We've always had good goalkeepers, but I think we made an upgrade this year.
I think so.
Well, thank you.
Don't disappoint us now.
No pressure. We were talking about it, you know, before we went on the air, that us three actually made a trip to Colorado last year and saw you play and were impressed, obviously. You won that game, I think, right?
Yeah, I don't know. What was the game? What was the score? Yeah, we won. Fuck strongly.
So, but what was your thought process in changing? Because you had some success in Colorado. Playoff games. We know Steve Tritouche is a really good coach. Did you just want to change, or was there something specific you were looking for?
Well, it's funny how it works. You know, football, like one day, you're kind of hot and everyone wants you, and they want to throw out big money, and the next day, the team doesn't want to pay as much, or maybe the market value has gone up a bit more, loads of different factors. But no, we just kind of mutually disagreed with, you know, me and the switchbacks, mainly financial, which is totally understandable. But I also wanted a little bit more of a future with the club. I put in 2 years with the switchbacks, and I felt like I needed a new, fresh start and something that I could push beyond this USL level. Sure. And that's kind of what St. Louis was offering me was 2 years with them plus a future, big time future. And so it worked out, perfect timing, and everything I had spoke to with them was spot on what I needed.
Great.
And we heard that 2 years in there. He did drop that for those that didn't pick it up. So we do have some.
So
for 2 years.
You are stuck with me. Nice. Yeah, for two.
Don't fuck up.
Sorry about that.
Well, hey, that's better than the, was it the Harrisburg goalkeeper that was on a Facebook Live video and accidentally leaked that they had new ownership?
Yeah.
That was a nice one, too. So
accidentally?
He just leaked a two-year contract. That's nothing new.
That's all right.
That's all right. Still doesn't beat that one footballer this weekend that thanked his girlfriend and his wife.
Yeah, the Ghanaian. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
he had like man of the match. I forget what league it was in even, but they were interviewing him after the game, and he said, I want to thank all the great fans. I want to thank my wife and my girlfriend.
Oh, no.
And then like like a few seconds later, you saw in his face, he goes, I meant my wife,
It's like, poor guy.
Yeah, he's... Here's your moment in the sun. How about you screw it up a bit?
But he had to cover both because they'd both be unhappy.
Sure. That's why you should just say sweet. Sweetheart.
Yes.
Yeah.
The love of my life.
Right.
That's what you do.
Of course I was talking about you.
That's right. But so, if they want to leak things on the show, that's perfectly fine. Jeremy's been known to do that a couple times.
That's right.
He's the master of dropping the not really a leak.
I'll be definitely getting a call later on.
Nobody was. Except for the owners and the GM.
So in addition to it being a brand new team for you, most of your teammates are brand new, too. I think we've got three guys that have, been in the lineup so far that were here last year. Are you guys gelling, or is it still learning things? How's it going so far, you think?
No, it's been brilliant. I don't think many of us at all have ever played with each other, on other teams. And so it's kind of it's exciting. I knew Jose from before, Sebastian, playing against him. A couple of these guys I've played against. But no, we're fresh. We're freshly put together, and it's really funny because a lot of teams and coaches put a lot of emphasis on, you know, getting guys that'll gel.
Yeah.
So they'll ask you a lot of stupid questions like, you know, what do you do off the field and what kind of personality are you? Basically, big personality tests, and I can't stand that. So, you know, here, I don't think they didn't do that at all. They just put together a big group of professional players that have played, you know, good levels. And what's funny is since we're all pros, we just became best friends. We became a family instantly because our goal is, it's bigger than ourselves. It's the, you know, the bigger goal that Preki had in mind. So we, it's been a great group of guys. We're very, you know, open to, working together, and nobody's got a big head, and you know, except me. But that's just
it's just a physical thing. I mean, exactly. Opposing size.
Well, yeah, we've already talked about that. The hands, and the head. It just doesn't fit.
What was the draw for St. Louis? I mean, why here? I mean, you probably had offers to go here, there, and everywhere. Why St. Louis?
I think it was you know, I'm not going to just say it was Preki because that's not true. It was a combination. You know, I was looking for, you know, if I wanted to go for money, I would have gone to another club, you know, that was just paying crazy high money. But I wanted a combination of a club that wanted to push me to my limit, you know, and see me succeed, you know, as well as a team, like win, mm-hmm. win big. And, you know, the expectations of this club is massive. And so it was a combination you know, career move, money move, you know, playing under a very experienced goalkeeper coach as well as head coach. And then also everything I heard and knew about the club itself, you know, and its image in the city was huge to me, you know. And that's one of my biggest things is I want to feel like I'm a part of something that's just bigger than, you know, a little rinky-dinky club. It's
that you bring up the goalie coach, Jonesy. I think that our goalies have always been top notch because of him. Has he got a reputation around the country for what he does? I mean, everyone that's come in here, like Ryan last year, came in here because of Brian, and Mark Pace has got better because of Ryan, because of Brian. Sorry. I mean, is he just really well known around?
Yeah, I mean, you know, football is a small community, and we always, you know, especially goalkeepers, we always have a little goalkeeper union. We all talk, and so his name has always had, you know, good things that have been said. And but you never know until you train with somebody. Uh-huh. You know, you can click or completely hate somebody for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
And it's funny, the day one from Meeting Bounds, I came up in December. I was just driving through, and I met up with Jones. And just we hung out a little bit and chat, and everything he was saying was everything I wanted. Mm-hmm. Like everything he said he wanted out of a goalie and he wanted out of a season was just kind of giving, like, my hairs were standing up because I was like, wow, this is where I need to be. This is a guy that understands me and wants to push me. And it was perfect.
I think I'd say that about Jones. If, you know, we know him because we've been around the club, but a lot of fans probably have never talked to him, spent time with him, and he doesn't seek attention. But anybody can sit down with him and have a football talk. Like, he's a guy's guy. And
great follow on Twitter, too, because he'll speak his mind.
Yeah, he's really good on Twitter. But, I mean, he's a fan, too. I mean, obviously, he's talking to you about things that he wouldn't talk to me about. But, I mean, he's just one of those guys. I love to see him at events and stuff. And I always, like, make a point to, like, kind of go over and just say hi to him. And he was out the other night at the kit reveal and had his son out there. I like Jonesy.
Yeah, because, you know, I think everyone always gives attention to the head coach.
Yeah.
We don't always.
He's just quietly doing his thing.
He's doing his thing. And what's funny is he said to me one time after a session, he's like, man, I get really exhausted after sessions because he's like, I kind of live those moments with you.
Yeah.
And that's the coolest thing is somebody who actually has more, still has a passion for the game, he's going to give everything he's got.
Yeah. Watching him when you guys are going through sessions, he's intense. Like,
He's working.
He's putting out
there,
a physical exertion. I'm like, dude, I'm tired just watching him. I'm like, shit, I need to sit down and have a drink.
Yeah. Well, and it's the little things, like I said, we notice him because we know who he is. But last year there was a game where Ryan went out hurt, and he had to really quick get Pace ready to come in, and he was just whipping balls at him like as hard as he could. Like, it reminded me of like sixth grade dodgeball, and he was just trying to nail Pace. And I mean, we're just dying laughing because we know the guy and how intense he was. Like, he was ready to go into goal. Like, I can do this.
And when Mark went in right away,
it was
a corner kick. That's you know, Mark was ready. It's like, okay, when you have somebody like that getting you ready, it makes all the difference in the world.
I was at training last year, and Brian was training with Mark Pace, and Brian was just smacking the ball at him. And one time he smashed this ball at Mark, and Mark kind of caught it with the palm of his hand and just palmed it away. And Brian's just like, why didn't you catch it? Catch it! I'm like, the ball went out for a corner and it's fine.
Yeah. It was a good save, coach.
I like that. I think Preggy's probably rubbing off on it a little bit too, of raising that standard.
Yeah.
Because I'll do that. Like, Adam will make a save, you know, great save or something, yeah. And I'll be like, hey, great save. And then immediately Jones is like, but could you have done this? Yeah, or done that. And I'm like, screw it. I'm not even going to say anything. Right. I'm just gonna
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You know, we got Adam in now, a young player. How's it going working with him? I mean, are you guys getting along? And are you trying to impart those pearls of wisdom that an old pro like yourself has? I mean,
I always actually tell him not to do what I do. Because a lot of my stuff is unconventional, just thrown together years of smorgasbord of games and mistakes. But no, Adam was a great add. You know, I knew immediately when he came in to preseason, we were training together, that we would click very well, personality-wise, as well as like his style and his training ethic complements mine. Basically, yeah. He trains at 100% or more. I train less. Basically, what I'm saying. But he kind of pushes me, and you know, I kind of raise my level just naturally by being, you know, surrounded by somebody like that. And so he's been a great guy, and obviously he's got great experience for young kids. So it's great to have him in the squad.
Yeah, he's looked good out there. I mean, I think that, like you said, if you're pushing each other in different ways, it can only help both of you. And the fact that you guys are getting along, I always like that. I mean, obviously he wants to be out there. He probably wants your job as much as possible. But but the fact that you guys get along is great.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a common misconception of like, goalkeeper one and two, right, or you know, should fight or should be angry, and a lot of young kids kind of grow up with that attitude of like, but you know, it's you know, over the years I've just kind of accepted that, like, you know, it's bigger than us, it's for the team, and honestly, like, it's never his fault or my fault to not be in the squad,
right?
You know, and it's nobody's fault. It's just,
and at some point during the year, you're going to need both of you.
Yeah, we're going to need someone. And in the end, like I always say, if I get a ring and a big fat bonus, I don't care, right, you know, what happened before then, you know, I'd be happy.
Right.
But you've been in this league long enough, and Brad just alluded to it. I mean, the dog days of May and June when the Open Cup comes along and you're playing Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, you can't physically keep your focus for 9 games in 6 weeks. I mean, you're going to...
No, yeah, it's those are the times. That's why we have to have every player on the same page. Yeah. And that's something that, you know, Preki works hard at doing. You know, he makes sure nobody feels like they got their position locked down, and that they feel like they're doing amazing or someone's doing better than them. He's just always keeping you on your toes, no matter who you are. If you're the best player that you thought on the team, or if you're just the youngest kid, he wants everybody to feel exactly the same, which is always striving to be way better.
And I'm not going to lie, come June, July, August, you're going to need a break because this St. Louis summers are brutal. Oh,
yeah. No, but also, it's good to hear that because I think in the last two seasons, we've had a slump in and around June and July, because I think the players have got a little too comfortable in the past. Like, okay, well, you know, we've made it now, we're pros, and they've got to June, July, especially last year. You know, we were third in the league around June, mm-hmm, and we just tanked, and we're going to need a coach that's still kicking the backside.
I don't care if you're in
player.
Third, it's not good enough.
Yeah. we need that, to be honest.
No, and that's I mean, he's done very well at maintaining our emotions and our, you know, even now we're week out, but we still feel like the work is going to come together. We're not like in a rush that it, mm-hmm, needs to come together, because we know the end result is to be in the playoffs, be number one, and the stuff we're doing right now, it's amazing. You know, it's hard to even kind of explain what the style we're playing and how it's all coming together. Once it does come together, we're unstoppable.
Well, we're even noticing, because these guys went to 3 preseason games in a row now. I've only made 2. But the difference between this year and last year, as fans, we're watching, and it's a different comfort level because there's a poised confidence that, like you said, it's professionalism. It's that professionals, like, you know, we watch you bark at the D guys and watch them get into, and it's like they get it. They found a system that's working.
And they keep working the system. And, yeah. I mean, we all admit Saturday was maybe not our finest moment.
Yes.
But these things happen. But you didn't abandon the system. There wasn't any panic. I mean, we made some mistakes, but we still could see what you were doing and what was, you know, it wasn't
attempt,
it wasn't as bad as the scoreline looked, but I mean, you know, nobody's happy after the
three. I mean, you take away that second goal. Dude, the wonder strike.
That was crazy.
On a half volley.
He was a center back, wasn't he? Or yeah. he was a left
yeah.
back?
Yeah, left back.
He's not going to do that again in his life.
No. Let's be honest. He kind of wasted his lifetime moment in a preseason.
Yeah. yeah I'm not and he celebrated his yeah. best celebration of all time as well.
No, I would have done. I got to be honest.
Did you see it on YouTube?
Yeah, I watched it today.
It's going around a lot.
I bet.
A lot of people are sharing it.
I'd like to be part of a
viral. Who tag you in that?
At least it goes viral.
I do have to ask, as a goalkeeper, and it is a one in a million shot that you did, at what point did you go, oh shit, I'm in trouble here?
Well, it's funny because I watched the video again, and in my mind, I thought the same thing, and I was right. As the ball is coming to him, it doesn't look like he's going to shoot it.
Uh-huh. No,
like,
yeah.
Body-wise and everything, it doesn't look like a shootable, you know, ball.
Yeah.
But then out of nowhere.
He was short up on it, too.
I'm pretty sure he meant to pass it to the right.
I'm also not being funny. He didn't score. It hit the bar.
It hit the bar, and I scored.
Yeah, it's an own goal. He didn't score. Yeah,
but when, I mean, when he popped it, I mean, I think all of us in the stands were like, oh.
And what's funny even, too, is like he hit it, and I'm like, all right, well, he's far enough where, you know, I could get to this. But then those lights were so low that I literally got to a blind spot, and then that was just
Did you
like,
literally just blame the lights?
I just blamed the lights. It got to the point where I just had to jump. And
yeah. But, yeah, I think all of us were like,
so,
well,
I mean, you take away
that's that,
you take
you
away
know.
Goal two,
right?
You know, goal three is it's a mistake, and the guy again he gets a little bit of luck because when I came out, me and AJ cut it off. It hit AJ's foot,
yeah.
And I think maybe it doesn't hit that. Maybe it goes far post. We clear it out or something. But take those away, little moments like that, and it overall we played okay.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
the first
it wasn't
the first 30
as,
minutes were fantastic for us. Right. We had 90% possession. It seemed. I mean, it was. We were making runs. We were putting balls on. I mean, we had a couple of ambitious shots from far out, but they were legit attempts. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Let's
throws.
Not kid ourselves either. I mean, Tulsa ain't going to be the cannon fodder they were last year.
No.
Right?
No.
I mean, they are vastly. Improved.
But I will say, Pat Berry came up to me at the tailgate, and he was like, you know, I mean, this isn't last year. They're not terrible. They're not, you know, whatever. They've got a whole new team. I said, Pat, over in their tailgate, they're saying the same exact thing about us. He goes,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, I think, and the game we went down to Springfield, even though it was 0-0, that was all our game.
Oh,
I mean,
we bust it. We bust it.
Well, first, if it would have been a regulation game, two of those guys would have gotten red cards because
you
were frustrating them so badly, you know.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm pretty pleased with how preseason's gone.
It's. I mean, you know, me and a couple of the little guys hung out Saturday night after the game and just had a chat, and Jose, and, you know, and kind of the general consensus from us is like we have no need to panic because we've been in this situation before. It's just not clicking.
Right.
It's not something's not right. But when it does, you know, and a lot of you know, it's very easy to go, oh my god, and to panic and say we're not doing well, we haven't scored, whatever. But when it does click, and what did he say? It's like the 32 ketchup bottle.
Yeah,
you know, once you try to hit that spot,
right.
Finally, when it does, it's just gonna pour out. You know, and I know that. Everybody understands that. Even you guys see that.
Yeah.
You know,
look that way against Swope, to be honest with you. Yeah. I mean, that was
Swope was a really good performance against a really decent
but
team.
Not even our best, though.
Yeah.
I thought we played better against OKC.
Yeah.
Than we did against Swope. But,
he kept hitting the post, and
Guzman had a couple of nice moments. And I mean, but that thing, those things happen in games, too.
My God, Guzman's stride. That dude, like, covers ground.
Gallops, doesn't he?
It's like a gazelle.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden you look up and he's like, oh, shit, he's in the corner.
Like, perfect running form.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, before we get to some questions from the fans, I want to touch back on something you said early on, the fact that you're all professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the whole don't panic thing, which I think last year we had a lot of young guys. And, I mean, we had some professionals sprinkled in, but I think a lot of times last year in games, and definitely in the first year, things weren't going right. And they would panic.
Right.
And that's what I have a lot of hope about this team. You are all professionals. And every time we sign somebody, it's like, oh, he's, you know, got a track record. And he's, you know, we're not gambling on these signings. They're all just solid signings. So that's what I'm most excited for, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was talking to Jones the other day, just kind of how the season's going to look and, you know, kind of the hopes and everything. And one thing he said to me, which, you know, it's always the best thought that I'd like to have is, you don't want to peak as a team early. You don't want to peak in the middle. The time to peak is when it's on the line in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's when you want everything to come together. And that's when all the year's work happens, you know. Yeah. It's so much expectation to be like, oh, you know, we lose the first few games. But no, like switchbacks, we did that. We lost like the first 3-4 games, and then we went on an 8-game winning streak. Right. And then, you know, from there we were up and down, and we, you know, it's like, but the problem we had there was when it did get down to it, we weren't solid enough from the ground up in order to handle that. And I think here we're starting from ground zero.
Right.
And below, and we're working it up. So it might take a little longer, I think, to click, but when it does, it's gonna be beautiful.
I think I watched a lot of switchbacks games because I'm a big fan of Steve, being from here and stuff. And a couple of games you played Arizona in Arizona, and you went 3-0 up because I was watching the games because I was like, we're playing these guys soon. You'd lost a bunch at the beginning. I'm like, these guys are cannon fodder. They're going to be easy 3 points for us. And then you went 3-0 up against Arizona 2 years ago. And then you played Arizona at your place on like this quagmire of a field.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that game. I was worried about legs, man. I thought guys were going to break their legs out there.
But you had a really, really good team. And I have to be honest, when we signed you, I was like, Why is he leaving that great team? I mean, you've got that advantage of the 6,000 feet.
No kidding.
You know,
holy
I mean,
crap.
I mean, I just walked up the bleachers there at 6,000 feet, and I was out of breath. But we're delighted with the signing, man. I got to be honest with you.
No, it's funny because, you know, when I left, I wanted to go back. Mm-hmm. You know, but when I was there, I wanted, you know, to be here. Mm-hmm. And but I think I knew right away I made the right decision when I got here, and it just things kept falling into place like just perfectly, and just in terms of my move to my off season, you know, I had 3 months to do nothing, you know, and
you went to Old Trafford.
I ended up in this last minute trip to Ireland, and I ended up training with MK Dons, and it was just like everything was kind of leading into 2017 being the right year, being the right team. And so, yeah, it is tough to say goodbye to that team. But, I mean, I'd get too comfortable, I think. I'd get too complacent if I stayed.
How do you end up training with MK Dons? You don't just – it's not like I go over and I'm like, oh, hey, I'm going to sit in on a session here, guys.
Well, he's got a little bit more of a resume than you do, Mitch.
I mean,
he talked about
desk.
Peaking early. That's your wife's biggest complaint. You peak way too early.
It's a race. I never lose that race.
All right.
No, so it was just funny. My glove company, the West Coast Goalkeeping, I was chatting with him for a bit, and I told him I was going to England. I was like, do you know any goalkeepers I could just you know, meet up with and just maybe watch a session or watch a game? So he introduced me to David Martin, plays for MK Dons, and so we were texting.
Oh, that's Alvin's kid. Alvin Martin.
I don't know Alvin.
Alvin Martin. Sorry, Alvin Martin used to play for West Ham. It's his kid that plays for MK Dons.
Oh, okay.
That's so sorry.
No, it's so
we're,
he.
We're older than you. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, Alvin.
Play along.
So we were just chatting a bit. And I was like, "Hey, can I come?"
I call him Al.
I call Dave. Dave. And he just, you know, one day he just said, "Hey, do you want to join a session? You know, next week or something." And so this was, you know, this was a week after Ireland. So I was tired, obviously. This was Christmas.
That's not called tired. That's called hungover.
And I was at my buddy's house. We traveled a bunch, and. But then I said, yeah, definitely. I didn't know what to expect. It was freezing snow morning. But I jumped in, did my best. I felt like I did well, you know. And then, but I hadn't trained goalkeeper like sessions in 3 months mm-hmm. or 2 months. So obviously hitting the turf with, you know, ice on it will hurt. So I couldn't move for about 2 days. And then the third day we go and watch MK play. I mean, my brother lives there, and I took him and his wife. They'd never been to a game. So I was like, yes, you know, but I was dead. My body and mind was dead. And after the game, he comes up to me and goes, mate, you want to train again tomorrow? And I'm like, well, yeah, but that one was,
yeah,
but
no.
I cannot.
I was like, I'll join. I was just like, at this point, I'm running off fumes, and, you know, great experience. And it was just kind of like, I needed that kind of energy from, you know, football energy to kind of reset my clock. And then it kind of started the new challenge of, you know, working to get here.
All right, we got a few questions from the fans. We'll hit some of these. Greg Havlux, Halvax wants to know, which defender do you enjoy yelling at the most? We've already seen that you're a very vocal keeper. You're getting
I
into
like
the
yell.
Yeah,
which we like as fans. We like because it's like, you know, we know you.
We
engaged.
Noticed they're picking on Aiden Stanley a lot. We think it's probably because he's a kid. But
no, I love playing with Aiden. No, it's funny because I'm usually pretty quiet in life.
Yeah.
So I feel like the field is like my theater of just being able to yell out all my aggressions in a professional way, you know, obviously. But no, this back line has been great because I'm very used to playing with guys who I yell at them and they yell back at me.
Right.
And it's just part of their personality.
Right.
And we kind of go at it and then we talk about it later on. These guys, I yell at them. They put up, you know, thumbs up. They say, yeah, they recognize it. We discuss it maybe later on. They yell back at me, like, when it's appropriate. But it's very, we just understand each other pretty well.
It's business out
it's
there.
It's very business. And then it's also, we're very supportive, you know. And you know, they'll cover my ass whenever I make a mistake. And, you know, they'll congratulate me on good saves and all that. And it's vice versa. Like, when they make great passes, it's very supportive. It's been good.
He didn't answer the question.
Which one do I like to yell at the most?
Well, I mean, it could be in a fun way.
Well, I do like to yell at AJ just because when he yells back, his voice gets so high-pitched. You know what I mean? There, and it's just so funny to hear that. But,
AJ will be glad that AJ's coming on after.
So ask him what it's like to yell at me.
The next question is from Claude. Claude wants to know, when did you make the switch to vegan and why? And is it hard to maintain on the road and during training?
That's a very good question. Well, I grew up vegetarian, not vegan. Okay. I don't think I can give up ice cream.
All right.
That's my, but yeah, I grew up vegetarian my entire life. I've never eaten meat in my life.
Okay. So it wasn't a change.
My whole family was vegetarian. It's just how I grew up. And, you know, it's taken 29 years to kind of build the perfect diet. Which is just basically tacos.
Wait a minute. I did the same thing.
I'm a vegetarian.
I do not look like him at all. I eat tacos.
And Breyer's ice cream occasionally. But
is it hard on the road, though, to manage your meals? Or
It can be. Depends on the team where we stay. Here, they've done a tremendous job. Nick, the trainer, he works with the kitchen staff, and they ask what I can eat, what I can't eat, what I prefer, all that stuff, different restaurants that I could go. And they feed me, like, better than I've ever been fed.
Great.
There's always an option there. And it's not just, like, they throw me some vegetables.
Right.
Yeah, salad.
They're like, here you go, some of the salad.
It's a designed meal where you get your protein.
I get everything. Yeah. I get my brown rice. I get maybe a veggie burger. Yeah. And it's been great, yeah.
All right, this is gonna sound really strange coming from me, but do you follow any of the vegetarian athletes, like podcasts like Rich Roll or Rip Esselstein, who does the E2 diet? Do you follow any of that?
I've never
stuff?
Followed like the actual
goddamn,
like,
fit bird. This is pissing me off.
But I do follow, like, I try to know who is vegetarian and why they're vegetarian. I kind of like, and there's Arnold just recently did a whole campaign.
Uh-huh.
He's gone fully vegetarian and vegan as well, and it's funny because he has all these commercials. Arnold commercials about why he is, and it's some of them are hilarious. But no, he would go vegetarian when he would compete,
okay,
because it was higher protein, less fat.
Right.
So when he was trying to add on that extra muscle and stuff, like, he went fully vegetarian. So
has it gotten easier over the years? Because now that seems like there's people that make this choice. It's not like you're the only one. I mean, like, my daughter is vegetarian. I mean, so the products, you know, the protein powders and the veggie burgers and things like that are available. Has it become easier to be a vegetarian?
Oh, it's been tremendously easier, as well as the conversation of talking about being a vegetarian.
You're not a freak anymore.
Not at all.
And, well, like, he is, but for other reasons.
I am, yeah, for many, many other reasons. They're just like, oh, another thing? Okay, cool. No, it's been really good, too, because I never try to, you know, preach go vegetarian and stuff. It's kind of like telling somebody not to drink. Yeah. It's just like they want to do it more.
Yeah, good luck.
But, like, they...
I'm having a beer now.
Yeah, as we speak. I mentioned the word drink in this guy.
I need a refill, too, Jobu. Yeah.
So then, you know, it's great because people decide to go vegetarian by themselves, but they're for different reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, it's environmental, it's health, it's maybe their heart or something like that. Conrad on our team is for Lent. He's going vegetarian on Fridays, which I find, you know, it's awesome.
So does he just say, bring me whatever
he goes?
Dave
yeah,
was
he goes,
having.
Whatever Dave's having, make two plates. So we share sometimes. And, you know, it's really cool to see. It's also cool to talk to people about why they want to go.
Yeah.
And it's not just because they saw a documentary or.
Right.
You know, they really go into it and really believe into it. So that's what I like to hear.
Cool.
Yeah.
Stuart, he wanted to know, working with Jones, we've already kind of covered that. Hutch wants to know, Hutch, I don't know if you know Hutch. Hutch last year won the Be a Player for a Day contest and got a jersey and got to sit on the bench during the game. And
it was against Colorado last year.
Oh, was that the game? Yeah. And now he thinks he's big shit, you know, and he's got a holdout now. He's not going to sign a new contract because he thinks he's worth something. But he wants to know, now that he's gone and he's not in the locker room, who's the biggest prankster, the biggest clown in the locker room? Or does Preki keep it pretty businesslike?
Man, that's a tough one to answer. It's a don't ask, don't tell kind of
locker room. Okay. Is that one of those, keep it
close? You can't rat somebody out for something like that. But no, I would say...
all right, who's got the worst music taste?
We've got... probably me.
If you guys are going out to watch a movie or something on a day off...
It's funny, we have different humor in the locker room. We have, you know, like, Tavo's very straight-faced humor. Mm-hmm. He'll drop the funniest jokes of all time, but with the straightest face.
Right.
You'll see... And he won't break that face for 5 minutes.
Right.
And then he'll smirk later on. You're like, dang it. you know, and then we got, you know, Mateo's, he's young and energetic. So he's always kind of talking and making jokes. And, you know, all of us kind of have a little bit of different sense of humor. And we also have different music. I mean, we, sometimes the Serbians will take over. I don't know how. I don't know who lets them.
Because there's like 20 of them.
Yeah. they kind of have a little mob.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to say anything to them. But they take over and there's suddenly Serbian dance music going on. And then next thing you know, it's, you know, reggaeton because Eric took it over. And, you know, but we all enjoy it. We'll all dance to it and we always have, you know, have a good time in there.
The locker room dance party. That's
see the Serbians have taken over from the Jamaicans because whenever you ask, whenever you ask the player who's got the worst music sense, it was always the Jamaicans.
Yeah. Always.
Let's see. Well, this leads into the next question, Alex. Or he wanted to know, you know, when are you going to start speaking Serbian, basically? But but the language barrier in the locker room. I mean, you know, we've got a pretty multicultural team this year. I mean, we got. Good old American boys. We've got Eastern Europeans. We've got a little bit of Central South American flavor. I mean, what's it like in the locker room? I mean,
oh, it's a great mix. We have every flavor possible.
We've heard Milan doesn't speak much English at all.
That's a lie.
Oh, okay, all right.
He's one of those. He's a secret.
He hides it.
No, he speaks enough to get by. I mean, sometimes it's a little broken.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And you have to kind of slow, you know, speak slower and louder. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
No, but you can get by. And Eric is as well. He speaks pretty good English and that. But no, it's a great flavor of players and personalities. It's so much fun. Like, you know, I've been to a lot of teams, and a lot of times you're stuck together. You know. And you have to kill an hour, right? Waiting for some stupid whatever. You wait for an hour. You got there too early, and you have to sit there. And these guys, you've seen them every single day, you know, for so long.
Yeah.
And what's funny is there, it won't be quiet.
Yeah.
Ever. It'll either be the big group will be talking about something, or there'll be little groups, or there'll be one-on-ones. Pretty much the whole hour, you're talking.
I love that because sometimes when you go into these locker rooms, everybody's just got their headphones on and they're listening to their own music and. Not talking at all. You know, I kind of like the fact that you guys are, you know.
Well, it also, I don't know if you guys know this, but we're not allowed to have cell phones at the stadium grounds.
Oh, yeah.
So
we heard that, but I didn't know if it was true.
It's a fact.
You got to check them in as soon as you get there, huh?
There's a process. but that's I can't good, tell though. Everything. But no, that's one of the biggest things. It actually forces you to, because it was funny. When I was in Colorado, I won't tell who, but. There was a player one time tweeting as he's getting like ready to leave the locker room to go warm up.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there tweeting and taking Snapchat pictures and that. And I'm just thinking, are you serious? Like your mind, you're just going to walk on the field
right now,
and your mind's
going
to, because what if you get, you know, a text from an angry girlfriend or someone
right before you go out
or a bad tweet talking trash
then
about you.
Then if he's on Snapchat, or there's a good chance of him seeing boobs. So that could help out.
Or heaven forbid.
It could help out or go that way. It disappears.
Heaven forbid you're tweeting and then you go out and you make just a blunder of a mistake.
Exactly.
It looks like, even if that's not why,
you're unfocused.
But it looks like you weren't paying attention or you weren't, you know.
And it really does help, though, because when you're in there, the first couple days it takes a lot to get used to. Yeah. You're so used to.
As I'm checking Twitter while we're doing the podcast.
Yeah, as he's on his phone, my phone's here buzzing.
Right.
So, but it's funny because it's weird going out without your phone. It is so weird. It's like not having a car.
Yeah.
You're like, what do I do with my hands? You know, and then but you start talking
to
somebody.
I love all the movie references.
I know, always. And they're all Will Ferrell ones. It's working out pretty well.
99% will be Will Ferrell, and then Adam Sandler will be the
one. I love this guy. He should ride the bus with us to Louisville.
Can I? Actually, I wouldn't mind going back with you guys after the win.
I think Preki would probably say no. But on the win,
You do need to understand how important this game is to us.
We'll get to Louisville.
So then, what was I saying?
You get used to life without the cell phone.
But it's fantastic because then you have to start talking. But then, you know, the first couple conversations are awkward. So, you know, where are you from? But then you really like get to know players and that, and you know, and then what's fun with all the different personalities, like you, as you're saying, is like, you know, if I'm in the mood for, you know, certain players and that, I want to go chat with them and kind of get to know them a little bit more, I can go to the other side of the locker room.
Yeah.
You know, and you get the Serbian corner and you get Spanish guys talking Spanish, and you know, one group might be talking about girls, one might be talking about like, you know, poker game or sports or something like that. Basketball is huge right now, but not all of us are into it. Right. So we'll hang and talk about something else. And so it's just really fun day to day to kind of get to know each other more and more. And you usually when you get to know somebody more, you kind of go, oh crap, now I know that. You know?
Yeah.
But these guys are like, oh cool, like, I want to know a little bit more. Like, what else have you done and seen? You know,
and you also get a feel for the guy on the field then too. That you know,
oh yeah,
you get his personality and you see what's happening on. You can predict his play a little bit better.
Yeah,
and or just care more about your teammates.
Exactly. And, you know. We're a type of team that if God forbid there was ever a fist fight, you'd have all 20 something of us running at. On the field, we're going to take care of each other.
Happening. We're not going to lie.
Yeah.
All right. This is getting hard hitting. Gary Hibbets wants to know: are hot dogs sandwiches? would you categorize a hot dog as a sandwich?
And speaking That's to somebody deep. Who doesn't eat hot dogs,
yeah, well, I don't sure. eat. Well, I've eaten veggie hot dogs.
There you go.
Okay.
That's a deep question.
So it'd be a veggie sandwich.
A veggie hot dog or a veggie sandwich?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go with no.
Yeah,
hot dog is its own entity.
I think so. I think that's the right
own
call.
Genre of food. Yeah.
I mean, technically, I'm supposed to say there is no wrong answer, but I think you got the
there
right.
There is always
right.
a wrong answer. Yeah. Sometimes
hamburgers, I don't consider time. Sandwiches.
I don't either.
They're hamburgers.
No, my grandma used to always call them sandwiches.
It's like saying
your grandma was crazy.
Is a waffle a pancake or is a crepe a pancake?
No,
exactly.
Absolutely
no,
not.
It's a crepe.
You mean those skinny pancakes?
The very very thin pancakes.
Sandwich has to have bread. Anything other than bread is not a sandwich.
Well,
it's got to be sliced bread.
But the
bun.
Is,
now, what if you're putting it in and the bun separates? I hate when that happens when you're doing a hot dog. But then it's technically
two pieces of bread
with
it's
hot
not,
dog.
It's not sliced bread, though, is it?
It's not sliced.
But is a pita bread a sandwich?
No. I don't.
So that's where we get deeper.
It's a Euro.
No, that's Euro, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's Euro. That's a whole
And I go wraps. Wraps aren't sandwiches.
No. It's a wrap.
So exactly.
It's its own classification.
Well, I call it a burrito, but I know it's different because it's rolled, but, you know, looks burrito-ish.
A sushi, you know, just because it's seaweed is the bread, that doesn't make it a sandwich.
Sushi's a burrito.
Yeah. Well, if you go to, what's the food truck where they do the burritos?
Oh,
and
yeah,
sushi.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember. They're fantastic.
I know. I love that place. Andrew White wanted to know thoughts on the Luligans so far. You experienced us a little bit last year, and you know, coming into town, pros, cons. You know, I know you missed your fans in Colorado. They were good fans, but we're better, right?
You guys are cray cray. <guys. laughs> No, it's the event we went to the AGM, the first one. That was so much fun.
You'll have to remind me because I don't remember.
I can imagine.
Yeah, we time traveled a little bit that day.
Yeah, you guys, you probably don't want to look at the video.
No, night.
But no, it was, we had great fans in Colorado, but you guys got it down. And you guys are very passionate and very organized. Like, you guys are really hooligans. Like Green Street hooligan organized. Can we call you a cartel or?
Well, yeah, but we do silly things. We don't fight.
A cult is good.
A cult.
But you guys are, yeah.
The thing is with Colorado, though, is that you were a really good team, but you didn't get a lot of fans per se. I don't think you got as many fans as we do here. But that's because also Colorado, there's so much other things to do. There are people kayaking, they're hiking, they're camping and backpacking and
weed.
Gang fights. You know,
all the fun
but
stuff.
I mean, you know, this is legit, man. Yeah. This is as, you know, you can go to any stadium in the world on a Saturday night and what we do is just as legit as any other stadium around the world.
I'm really looking forward to Louisville. I mean, we're taking 200-ish people to Louisville. Yeah. I mean, for an away game. I mean, I'm not going to lie. We don't do that every game, but Louisville's kind of a close one. I mean, for an American road trip anyway.
Yeah.
And we have some fun there. But then I'm really excited for you and the rest of the guys to get to see what our home atmosphere is. And we've had a couple nice little preseason road trips, you know, and Sunday or Saturday at SLU was pretty cool. But, you know, at home, you know, I can't wait to see the guys react to it. Because, like you said, at that AGM meeting, a lot of guys were like, wow. And I mean, they come from different places where there are less fans, or
right.
you know, even some of the guys that played at Sacramento Republic, which gets 11,000, it's just a little different. Every city's a little different. So I'm anxious for you guys to see it at home.
And on the road, too. I mean, we do travel well to where we can.
That's the hard part. I think we travel well.
It's a hard part. Is that we're in a, very well. It's a weird, we're in such a weird place where there's nobody close. I mean,
right.
you know, Colorado was the third closest place, you know, last year.
Yeah.
Well, technically fourth.
Very spread out in the east.
Yeah. Well, on the east, they're all nice and close because, you know,
if you're on the east coast,
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, I'm jealous of those, but they don't have the supporters that travel, where it's like...
But like Matt said, we're going 6 hours to Louisville, basically.
Yeah.
And he said when he lived in England, the farthest you ever go is 3 hours.
Yeah, pretty
you
much,
know?
Yeah.
And so our Newcastle closest, to the south is 6 hours.
Yeah. Our closest road trip is farther than, you know, their you know, furthest one, but
yeah,
we're going to have some fun.
And we're going to time travel.
Here's another hard-hitting one. Ryan Cadillac wants to know, have you tried the St. Louis-style pizza yet?
I have not.
So you need to do a nice thin crust.
I tried the gooey butter cake.
Okay. Oh, that's good stuff.
That's not bad.
It was all right.
Not a fan?
It was all right. Yeah. I just had such big expectations. I'm a big dessert guy. Yeah.
See, this is the other thing, Joe. Look at his physique. Look at that. Sure. Yeah. I like the gooey butter
obviously.
Cake.
Obviously. Well, obviously, you spent
dessert,
some more
it's
time.
It's just got to hit the point for me.
Yeah.
And it was
It's got to be worth the cheat.
Yeah, but it wasn't a tiramisu.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Like, sure. I'm like for top notch, and that was...
So Ted Drews, we'll have to get him on Ted Drews.
If you like top notch, stay away from St. Louis style pizza, man.
It's different. It's the real thin
Imos or Emos?
Emos.
Emos, but other places do it. It's just a real thin crust pizza.
Completely opposite of Chicago.
Exactly.
Like, let's be way different.
Right.
Yes. I like the Chicago style.
I love Chicago.
Yeah. So then you're not going to like
pizza
those.
Pie.
No, I like
but both. I'll enjoy a thin crust.
Yeah.
Oh, so pizza's
literally,
pizza.
This is cracker thin.
And St. Louis does the Provel cheese, the little...
Which is not provolone. It's not provolone.
Yeah.
It's its own... Yes.
Yeah. It's the knockoff version.
It's actually a mixture of
provolone and what is it, white cheddar?
White cheddar.
Yeah.
It's not real cheese.
Okay.
So it's not quite as...
It's government
cheese. It's like Velveeta.
Yeah. It's government cheese.
Like one molecule away from being plastic.
All right. First of all,
so you guys are
fuck you guys.
You guys are selling it.
I love it. So. Yeah.
Now, I do. We have it every once in a while.
Yeah.
But it's not my go-to.
It's not like... I'm not a pizza snob. I like all kinds of pizza.
Yes.
As long as it's not the stuff like my wife does, like goat cheese and balsamic vinegar.
Actually, that's still pretty good.
I want a pizza. That's not pizza.
Don't they say pizza's like sex? There's no...
Yeah, but that's flatbread.
There's no bad.
You got to call that flatbread.
My wife will differ.
There is bad sex.
No, flatbread, that's not a pizza.
But, yeah, that's right. That's what
more
I'm saying.
More classifications.
I need tomato sauce and cheese.
This is the food
cheese.
Classification podcast now.
Yeah, it really is.
We have detoured heavily.
We've already answered Malia's question. Let's end it here with Pat Ryan's question. He wants to know, training in Colorado Springs versus here. We've talked a little bit about the altitude. Do you just get used to it while you're there, or do you feel the advantage when you either come down to us, you know, normal places,
down to you,
or when guys come in there, do you notice it? Or
oh no, we had an arrogance about it.
Yeah,
we knew when teams came in, we could see it in their face, like, oh my god, I can't even breathe.
Yeah, so you hold them for 30 minutes and then they're just dead.
Yeah, we knew second half.
Yeah,
we were just gonna go at them, and by the 60th minute they were dead.
Yeah.
And we loved it. And
we
then,
saw that.
Yeah, and then when you go away, let's say you come away and you play in St. Louis, and you've got 30% more red blood cells coursing through your veins. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
No, it is. It's the math of it, yeah.
Yeah. You do feel it. Yeah. Even for me, the little I run in a game.
Yeah.
The very little, yeah. By the way, it's immeasurable.
You want that Opta data to be less than...
We don't even want to... Yeah. Everyone wears heart monitors and trackers except for me for
there
a reason.
You go.
So, no, but like that little bit I run down on sea level, like I feel like I'm Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, I'm so fast. And I'm probably no faster, but I just feel lighter, you know, with the more oxygen, so...
I mean, we felt it when we went up Pikes Peak, right?
Oh,
I mean,
Jesus.
I felt like Edmund Hillary up there, man. I was just all dizzy.
Walking from the damn parking lot to the train, I was huffing.
But you were laughing about it. But when we went up the stairs, because when we walked into the stadium, we went on the far side in Colorado, and you had to go down those stairs all the way across, and then up the stairs.
It's a trek.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, holy shit, there is a difference. And that was just, you know, 30 stairs on either side. It was like, holy shit, there is a difference here. And that was when we knew the players were in trouble, because it's like, okay, we know we're fat, but
yeah,
when it's affecting you on two sets of stairs.
But there are some bonuses too. I was like a little lightheaded, and I said, "Oh, give me another beer."
So I got rolling right away. Yeah.
Is that why they started? Maybe they're like, "I need to expand my lungs to let in that even more oxygen." So let's smoke some weed.
But we had the edibles. That was the problem.
Oh, okay.
Kind of blew that whole concept. Well,
the smoke, messed up there.
The smoke bombs in Colorado Spring were totally different. The they lights. Scored. Pass it over, man.
The lights were so much brighter, yeah. Man.
The problem is, you know, we stopped watching the game. We're just watching the sunset.
So we've all been to Colorado Springs, as we discussed. Another thing in common is that you're also a male model.
We're all the before and he's the after.
This is going to turn really weird.
That's all I got. That was my one line.
There was no question there.
Well, that's my one line of the night.
Oh, don't worry. All the women, when we signed you, were like, oh.
Yeah, there's
Have you seen his Instagram? No.
Yeah.
Oh, you need to. No, I'm straight. I'm okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought it was weird when I got like 100 female ads that night.
I'm confident. I'm confident in my masculinity. I checked it out. You look good, bro.
No, thank you. That was heavily Photoshopped.
Nice.
Heavily. Not even my body.
Just put your head on somebody else.
I don't even have a tattoo on my shoulder.
That was marketed in.
It was Matt Bird. Let's be honest.
So that's all the questions we have. We got a few news items. We can either take a break and you can get out of here, or you can stay and talk some news with us if you want.
I'll talk some news.
All right. Yeah, all right.
That was it.
That's always a good time.
He's talking hot dogs and sandwiches. He'll stay for news.
Yeah, this is a good point. I mean,
we don't have a whole lot of news, but as we mentioned, we've kind of talked about it through the pod here. We went down to Columbia. We watched the team beat Swope 3-1.
I think was awesome.
It was great.
It was freezing.
Oh, the snow was blowing in our face at one point in time.
It was bitter cold.
Oh, pussies. It was fine.
It was cold, but I was fine. I was seeing live soccer. I was happy.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have snowed 8 times as hard.
I was okay after the second minute when that goal went in off the free kick.
Yeah,
everything was fine. That warmed the cockles of my heart, I tell you.
Down in the sub-cockles.
We talked about the SLU game. I think we've talked all we need to talk about that one.
Yeah.
Then there was an SIU game.
Have you seen the video?
There was a video. Oh, yeah. There was another game at SIUE on Sunday. It was 1-1. That was mostly the guys that did not play at the SLU game. Matt, you went to that
Actually,
one.
Actually, there was a few guys that played. I mean, Tyler played, Angelo played, Conrad Plava played. That's how you pronounce it, I think.
We're still getting the names down.
Plava Plave.
Plave.
That's a good one.
There we go.
Hashtag it.
Tyler played really well. I mean, it was a mismatch of players, and it was hard to see who was who because they were wearing the gray training kits. So they didn't have no numbers and stuff. Really good goal from Denis Ametovic. Pinged it from the angle of the 18-yard box off the post and in. It was a scrappy game. It was what it was. I mean, I think SIUE are a good team.
Yeah, they are.
And you know, but if the last 15 minutes, you could tell who were the pros.
Yeah,
you know, the fitness came in. If there's only going to be 1 minute, it was going to be us. But a really good goal, and you know, it was again, it was live soccer, and it was fun.
Yep. A couple of media announcements. Que Buena, 15:10 a.m. this season. It's a Spanish language station, and they're going to do some of the St. Louis FC games. So that's exciting.
We met
Kyle Garcia.
Yeah, he came out the other night.
Bueno.
Yeah.
Caliente.
Yeah, he's really into it. They're excited to be a part of it, and they're hosting some events. I'm going to share an event tomorrow. They're having a big party the day before the Louisville game. Going to have some tacos, and they're going to have the Que Buena staff on hand, and just do a big rally sort of to get their community involved, and I'm excited to see where that goes. And then also on Thursday night, there was the big announcement that KPLR TV Channel 11 will be doing 10 St. Louis FC games.
That is just fantastic. I mean, I know for us it doesn't matter because we're going to be at the games or we'll be at ITAP watching the games.
I don't know, but I mean, if only there was 3 guys in town where they could do a recorded pregame show that know this team and know this league. If there was only 3 guys in this town.
Yeah, yeah, there were.
I wish if one was. Of them had an English accent, that would be cool.
Just a token English accent.
It'd make it so authentic.
Just a token English. I don't even like football. Yeah. I'm a rugby guy.
No, but I think it's great because somebody will be flipping through the channels and maybe they'll catch a little of video of what's going on at Soccer Park, and somebody that hasn't come out yet may decide to come out and join us.
And Rich Gould covered it at the jersey unveiling, and he's absolutely right that, you know, for those of us that grew up here, KPLR had sports. It was the Blues, it was the Cardinals, you know, the Steamers at one point.
They had
the
Rams on for a while.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, you know, when I think of sport, you know, watching local sports on free TV, it's KPLR or nothing. So
this is a big deal then.
Yeah, it really is.
I think it was Aiden that was telling me, because he's a local boy.
Yeah.
He was saying when he grew up too, it was like, that's exciting. Like he kept saying how that's really cool.
They used to have wrestling at the Chase too, man.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic.
Yeah. No, but I do think, because there's a lot of people, we always talk about it, the sort of soccer snobs that kind of haven't bought in yet because this is USL. And it used to be Division III, and now it's Division II, so maybe it's a little closer. But I think if they really saw what goes on at the park, it's professional soccer.
And that's really the biggest part for me is that, you know, somebody sitting at home.
They have minor league baseball in mind.
Yes.
You know, we're not shooting T-shirt cannons, and this is a soccer game.
Could we have a cannon?
Yeah.
I don't want T-shirts. We'll find something else to shoot out of it.
I would like a cannon. But no, I think maybe having it on TV and maybe somebody will catch it and they'll see what's going on out there and they'll want to come.
Yeah, so. And that's the thing too is that, you know, they'll be set up on the side opposite us.
Yeah.
So, you know, when the play is in the one end, they're going to see us going nutty for 90 minutes. That's that's a fantastic selling point.
Yeah.
And if they do just clips, like highlight clips.
Yeah.
They'll be including the definitely. Crowd and all that stuff and the exciting celebration.
That was one question that didn't
Because everybody that has actually come out to a game is like, "Oh, I can't believe how great this is." So. Yeah. I think just more people seeing it, it's a definite positive.
So do you prefer first half or second half being in our end?
Oh, that's a tough one. I like to start the game out with you guys. Like having you guys behind me and with me, it's like it's a good feeling.
Well, and we know different players, like some keepers say, nope, once the game starts, I'm so focused on what's going on, I don't hear the crowd. Some guys are, no, I hear you guys, and you know, I get a little pumped up when you guys are loud. How is it for you?
For me, it's I'm telling you, I was telling Jose about it last night. Like, the louder the crowd, the more relaxed I am.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, I feel like it drowns out every thought you have in your head.
Yeah.
And it just puts you in that moment. Right
so
there.
If you're there and it's quiet, you're thinking too much.
Yeah. I'm in my head. I'm hearing guys talk. I'm hearing this and that. And there's like a million thoughts going on. When you guys are loud and all I hear is drums and even I'm yelling, I can't even hear myself. Yeah,
just locks you in.
I'm just like, it's like I'm playing FIFA. I'm just like, I got full control here.
Okay. Challenge accepted.
There Let's we go. That's Always what we need be to loud.
It also helps when you have like personalized songs about me.
Wow.
We're going to
work something. We just throwing that
we
out
are
there.
Not going to be able to get a crowd to be able to pronounce your name. Let's just, it's
the
just
song could be how to pronounce my name.
a phonetic cheat.
What rhymes with Davila?
We'll get something. So, both of those are big, exciting news, K-Buena and KPLR. And we also know that the YouTube streams will still be going on, but now we've got a centralized USL production, I forget what they're calling their video production team, but it promises some better video and some better quality control, so I'm
looking
forward to it.
Which is good for the other location. We had good production quality, but there was a lot of stadiums that had terrible production quality.
Oklahoma City.
They had a camera position on the moon.
Yeah.
Oh,
I swear to God, Toronto was just a guy holding up a laptop, swinging it back and forth.
You took the words
out of
my mouth.
It was the webcam from a laptop.
It was terrible.
What kills me is the announcers.
Yeah.
Some of the announcers.
Some of them were good. Some of them, the Louisville guy, I mean, he got better from the first year, but he was a baseball announcer. I mean, no disrespect to him, but this
well, they
wasn't,
do play in a baseball field.
That's
so.
True. But this wasn't his sport.
Like, oh, have you played in Louisville yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're familiar with the shit show of the infield?
Yeah.
The turf to natural grass, back to turf.
That'll be fun.
Remember your knees as they are.
Yeah. I think they should have one turf shoe and one real shoe. So no matter where you're at on the field, one foot should be secure.
It's like curling, how they have the one that they slide on.
Yeah, yeah. So those are good media announcements. One other media announcement, I don't know if you got a chance to hear this, Matt Bird, but SiriusXM FC had a special guest this week. His name was Mitch Maurice.
That guy's an asshole.
They had Mitch on to talk about the olden days back with AC St. Louis, our NASL team. Mitch told a little bit of the funny history.
Yeah, I think they were kind of looking for a little dirt, right? You know, a little shots at the previous regime. And there's there is some things that you can, but you know, ultimately, all the things that, that Jeff Cooper's group did back in the day led us to this point.
Right.
You know, forming St. Louis Soccer United gave us the Gallagher Club as it's known today, gave us the ownership group that took over, gave us St. Louis FC, gave us...
Created the Lulligans.
Yes. I mean, so all these things that happened, if it wasn't for all these mistakes that were made, you know, like forgetting your player cards at the hotel at the first game.
That was amazing.
I that was one story I forgot that I wanted to tell. You know,
our season ticket holder gift that year was a pair of socks from the women's team that folded.
Wow.
and the shoe Oops. Bag.
And the shoe bag. Yeah, we got a shoe bag.
And oh, the hair bands, the Puma hair bands. Yeah.
It was all women's soccer merchandise that
nice.
They didn't sell.
So, I mean, it was a shit show. But
the thing was is that now we look back at it lovingly.
It's because, funny now, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're running out of merchandise in the second game.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know. But Kyle buying a jersey that he never got, you know, those kind of things. So, you know, it was good. But again, the fact that we're able to turn it into the, you know, positive, they'd asked about Prop 1 and 2,
yeah,
you know, how that's going, what we're going to look at. So it was good to kind of get the word out there, you know, make fun of Claude and Elka a little bit. And,
yeah.
And everybody had a good time with it. So,
but I thought you were really good on the radio.
Oh, thanks. Yep.
Thursday night, in addition to the KPLR news, we got to see the new away kits.
Look fantastic.
It is a good-looking kit, and I do want to tell Jeremy, because I'm wearing the old kit now, the navy one that we gave him so much hell for when
it
came out.
With the red
collar. With the red collar. The new St. Louis FC away kit came out, and I'm proud to tell you, Jeremy, all three of us have now bought one.
Yeah.
So Matt, Mitch, and Brad give it their seal of approval.
And they have it in fat guy sizes.
That's part of the reason why we can give it their approval. Yeah, but
that's why we got the away shirts. Yeah. We can't fit in the green one.
I can. If I wear my girdle, I can slide
you
into
have a
the
corset.
Yes. I need you to help tie it before game day.
we
all like the new away kit.
I like the all white kit last year. I mean, it looked clean and crisp. Yeah.
But I like the detail.
But having the blue stripe across, having the blue collar, it just really kind of sets it off clean. Like, you look at it and you're like, that's a good-looking kit.
It's also a nod to the Stars, the old NASL team. I mean, they had a white shirt with a blue stripe across the chest. Yep. It's a nice nod to the past as well.
It's almost like I know another group that has a new jersey with a stripe across the
chest.
That's
where I was going to lead. The new St. Lulligan jersey is out, and it is also a nod to the Stars jersey. It's green with the blue stripe across it, and... We gave away our number 10 shirt on the kit unveil, and I think it overshadowed the event a little bit.
I think it did.
Gave it to our good buddy Fred, and Fred ran around like a 10-year-old girl telling everyone about his new jersey.
Do you know who Fred is?
I don't think so.
It's your owner, Tom Strunk.
One of the owners.
Your CFO.
Oh, okay.
We gave him the jersey.
he played in our charity game, so every year, nice. The first weekend after New Year's, we have a charity game there, raise food for the St. Louis Food Bank, and it's us versus the St. Louis Chapter American Outlaws. Which is really the same because we're all inbred. It's the same people in both groups.
Yeah,
and
we do a custom jersey every year.
Yeah, and so we invited a handful of people to come out, and Tom actually suited up and
very cool,
very competitively played a couple shifts, and so he got his own. He got the number 10.
Number 10. Wow!
And he ran over to Preki and said, "Look, they signed me." And Preki said, "They can have you," because Preki actually. Played indoor, and Tom had an indoor career that didn't quite make it to the first official game. He was drafted, and unfortunately never saw playing time, but he is our number 10. But you can actually buy one of these jerseys, and if you order number 10, you can have a hero Tom Strunk jersey at ultras.com.
He had it on Saturday at SLU. He was wearing his jersey. He made sure to point it out to several people.
So if you want one of the new St. Lulligan jerseys, you can go to ultras.com, and if you want one of the new St. Louis FC away jerseys or the green home jersey, you can go to St. Louis FC. They're all available to order now.
Yeah, they went up yesterday morning, I think I saw.
Today.
This morning, yeah. Yes.
And if you're a season ticket holder, you can get a discount. So there's still time to get season tickets.
And also, they came out with a new scarf as well. Yep. That it's very nice. I enjoyed it. And they got new hats, actually. They're murdered out.
The black murdered out hat. Yep.
They're sweet. Picked one up. They're flex fits. So it's nice. They actually have new hats again.
And you can get the new Mission Taco warm-up jersey, too.
Yeah.
So lots of new things to buy on the St. Louis FC website.
And through us. Because we have scarves.
You can go to St. Louis FC also to buy your tickets. If you don't have season tickets, if you don't have a flex pack, first of all, I don't understand why. But second of all, you can at least get tickets to the home opener, which is April 1st. And that place is going to sell out, and it's going to start selling out soon. So you better do that right away.
They literally just put single game tickets on sale the other day.
Yep.
I don't remember.
They won't last long.
What it actually was. Yeah, so it's going to go real quick. If you do need tickets, you need to call our good friend Darian up at the office, 636. Where are we? 636-651-0297. Call him for your season tickets. 636-651-0297. Tell him the podcast sent you.
Yep.
And
ask for Darian.
Buy them now. Now.
Mitch mentioned scarves. We do have our new scarves. They will be available at every tailgate party for $20.
All of them.
And we also have a couple of t-shirts available, and those are also $20 for all of them. And we're going to have scarf pins. So first 100 people that come to the home opener get a scarf pin. And what do they have to say to get it, Mitch?
I don't know. We got to come up with something good.
Yeah.
Are they going to pronounce his name right?
Yeah. No, they have to pronounce it right. They have to say, Davila does not think hot dogs are sandwiches.
Yes. There you go.
If you come up at the home opener and you tell Brad, Davila does not think hot dogs are sandwiches, you get a scarf pin.
There you go.
They should also get a sandwich.
we're having a tailgate.
The tailgate crew will.
Mark, I don't know what they're making that first week.
Mark leaked it to me today.
Oh, can we spoil it?
I don't know. You know what? I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Fuck it.
What are we having?
Doing a pulled pork, baby.
Pulled pork sandwiches.
Yes. Sandwiches, no doubt. Which you can do because it's considered a. Well, no.
Is it a sandwich?
But they're on buns, technically.
See, but man, I think that's a tough one. I think
but
that's
it's
a
referred
sandwich.
To as a sandwich.
I think it is.
Because it's not a solid piece of meat.
The bun is sliced.
This is a whole. This is a whole episode right here.
A bird is tapping out. He doesn't want to answer this one.
But since the pork is shredded, since it's not a solid beef.
If it was a pork patty.
It would be different.
I think it's the shreddedness of it.
I think it's the shreddedness.
Yeah, I think so. I think that makes it.
I think
and it rolls off the tongue. Which, pulled pork sandwich rolls off the tongue. Cheeseburger sandwich doesn't sound right, does
oh,
it?
Oh, I got it now. Okay, here's the deal. Hot dogs are not a sandwich because it's a thing. It's one thing.
One continuous.
Same as a burger is a thing. But if it's a Philly cheesesteak on a hot dog
bun,
that's
a sandwich. That's a good
so
point.
But what about a lunch meat sandwich?
It's all about the meat. Because it's multiple pieces
right.
of roast beef.
Exactly.
But what about like tuna salad sandwich? But it's multiple pieces.
Oh, wait. I know our problem.
What's that?
Filet-O-Fish.
Fucking McDonald's.
God damn it. All right. We'll do some more work
on
that.
No. Because it's breaded. So it's brought together. Huh?
You're gonna need to make a list.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do some more work. Get a chart.
Post this up. Yeah, so we need a chart so we know.
It's gonna take a lot of
PowerPoint.
Research, a lot of research.
Yeah. All right, we'll get back to you on the sandwich deal, but you can get scarves, T-shirts, pins, and whatnot. And the last thing I want to talk about, in addition, or you know, just hit that home opener again. Bring a friend. Let's talk about Louisville. We're taking 150 people on buses and another around 50 people driving. We're hitting Louisville. We're going, if you bought tickets, you should have already gotten an email with some details. Or if not, go to the Facebook event page. And we're going to be going to the tailgate party put on by the Coopers. They're having omelets.
I do like omelets.
I know, but what the fuck? I mean, beggars can't be choosers. We're going to go. We're going to have omelets.
We do pulled pork. They do omelets.
And I love omelets, but it's a weird tailgate food, right?
And not only that, but the game's at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it's not even like it's an 11 o'clock game.
Yeah. And I'm also afraid that they're going to have too many people interested in the basketball game, and they won't come to the soccer game at the baseball field because they're watching basketball.
Sucks to be them.
It's a lot of weird sports things going on in Louisville, but we're going to head there, and we're going to bring home a winner. My friend Davila is going to guarantee it. No, it's a little quiet over there.
Watching his eyes just trying to register.
Yeah, he's all business. He's not about gambling. So we're going to go to Louisville.
It's like that thing where if you say something, it could be having a negative effect.
Yeah. Right.
So like I never say we're going to do this.
Like AJ telling you how safe St. Louis
is. Exactly.
And then getting jacked.
I knew right away, too. Yeah. I'm like, why even say
you're so stupid,
so
AJ.
In my head, I know what's going to happen next Saturday.
But here's the thing. You do need to understand what this game means to us.
All right, let's hear it.
We came into the league the same time as Louisville.
Okay.
They were our closest team at the time. Yep. It became our natural rival. Then they had Cincinnati.
And they've got a good presence online. We've got a good presence online.
Yeah, they do have a good fan base.
But here's the biggest problem. They win.
Yeah.
We don't.
Okay.
It's been embarrassing for us.
Now, granted, they've spent beyond their means. In the last 2 years, they've lost $1.7 million. Yeah. If they didn't spend beyond their means, they'd be Harrisburg. Yes. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, if you...
Well,
if
they
you,
do play on a baseball field.
That's true. Harrisburg played on a baseball
field. Yes, exactly.
No, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That said... We owe them. We owe them. We owe them a big one.
So it means a lot. Is there a cash prize that you guys are
throwing out there? There is a cheesy
incentive
tin cup that we get if we win. But I don't. We might. Well, we'd have to do it on the down low because we don't want to upset Mr. Preki. But maybe we have a little
is there
private get together where there's beer involved.
Okay, that would probably incite the team to.
We need to tell our buddy about. The Lulligan man of the match. Do you know this tradition?
I've heard this.
It's a beer bucket.
Yeah, I've very much heard this.
And you have to pound the beer.
Yeah.
This is not, you know, I guess there are some guys that don't.
We've had a couple guys who abstain from the alcohol and they get a pinch drinker, but.
Okay.
But it can't be a player.
And then it has to be given to another player.
I think, yeah.
No.
It can be delicate.
I like the pinch player. Bring someone off the bench
because he didn't. It'd have to be somebody that didn't play.
Didn't play. Yeah.
That's. I think that's the only rule for a pinch player.
Well, that's fair because it's consolation.
You know, we've had the GM do it. We've had a ticket guy do it.
Yep.
We've had a Lulligan do it. So yeah, like Sam Fink was a famous guy who didn't drink at all. Was a great player, won a lot of man of the match. He won, and he always designated someone else to drink for him. So
nice.
But I think it'd have to be a bench player that didn't see time in the game.
That
would be cool.
It's a consolation drink.
Yeah.
Well, that's obviously Matt Register and Mark Hutchison.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So yeah,
and not Aiden Stanley.
Maybe we should get this a little bit
contributing to the delinquency of minors.
He's underage.
That is true. What do you do if Aiden's the man of the match?
He'll have to
have a pinch drinker.
Yeah, maybe we can get his dad to do it. His dad comes to matches.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or his mom.
That'd be cool, too.
That'd be even better.
Yeah.
Not like in a creepy way.
No. You know,
that mom could throw down. Yeah.
Like Mama Fink. Mama Fink should have done it for Sam. You know,
she probably could have thrown down.
Yeah, she could. Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, so we expect you to have a lot of buckets in your future.
That's right.
What it comes down to.
All right.
The buckets this year, we will announce, is being sponsored by our good friends at ITAP.
What's in the bucket?
We just pick a beer of choice. Pick a beer.
We try to get something simple, like a Urban Chestnut.
Yeah, we usually do something light. We don't want to kill a guy after he's run all game to give him a stout.
Straight shots.
Right.
Usually it's something, you know, like a light lager kind of. Not
Pilsner.
Not Budweiser kind of bullshit. Yeah. But,
all right.
But, yeah, no.
But ITAP is going to be sponsoring the buckets. They may actually do some stuff with the podcast coming up this year. It is no longer the ITAP Craft Corner by us. It's still the Craft Corner. There's still going to be craft beer in our corner, but ITAP is not the sponsor of
manager of it.
So ITAP's getting involved with us a little bit.
Every watch party there, they're going to have different beer specials for us. We're working on a few special items that will coincide with that.
Yep. We might have a special watch party shirt or something.
Yeah. A lot of special stuff.
Yeah. Oh, no.
We're all about the special.
We're very special.
It has to be special.
We're going to try to work some things out with the local fooderies there, too, as well.
And I'm the diva here.
Yeah.
No. That's completely Brad. Trust me.
But if you don't make the trip, you could come to a watch party. You know, say you're hurt because obviously you're starting if you're ready to go. But you know, maybe you stay back a game for some reason, then you can come to the watch.
You know
party.
What? When you, suspension. When you get suspended for knocking out a Louisville player,
that was wasting time. I almost got six. What was it? Six yellow cards last year.
Really?
Yeah, I almost got it because I was wasting time every single game.
So our friend Nick Bibbs got a nice one. He joined us for a couple of watch parties because he decked somebody.
Four game suspension. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And he tried to blame it on one of his teammates. It was very suave.
Yeah.
But no, he came to the watch party. So if you're ever in town for a watch party, you can.
Or if I just want to join it, just deck somebody.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
We'll get you some vegetarian mission tacos. And,
oh, that sounds delicious.
So ITAP will be our headquarters for that. I also want to mention our longtime podcast sponsor. Your Electric.
Yes.
If you have any electrical needs, if you're getting stuff rewired or you need something new done, call our friend Mark Gardner at Your Electric.
I have the phone number, but I'm slow. So we're just going to say Your Electric. Google it.
Yeah. He's a podcast sponsor from way back.
314-814-3897. That's 314-814-3897. Got a couple little hints about the tailgate, you know, tailgate posse spicing up the trailer.
Yeah, they've made some improvements to the trailer.
I think the fans are going to be quite excited to see the trailer and all the new doodads and gizmos that go with it. And you won't have to drag around scarves and t-shirts in your trunk anymore.
That's right. We've got storage there, so we'll be ready.
Yep. Yep. So now it's just a matter of getting to that first home game.
Yep.
But first, we got to go through Louisville. You need to win in Louisville.
Nope. No pressure.
Yeah, none at all.
I've only mentioned it to every single player I've talked to.
There it is. Mitch burped on the podcast, so I think that's our cue. We've done everything we need to do. Those of you playing, drink up at home. Get after it. And
last question for Dybala. Yeah.
Yes.
Best goalie in the world. Who do you look to?
All time or current?
Both.
All time, I would say Buffon.
Peter Schmeichel.
I didn't know it was in English, obviously. I messed up there.
Oh, I do have one more question
obviously,
before we go.
English. All time, GG.
You can't go wrong with Buffon, really. Yeah. You really can't.
Current's a tough one. Current, you got just like... I mean, De Gea has been killing it for a while. I'd say I'd have to go safely to De Gea.
Okay. I do have one more. Just, you know, doing all the top shelf research we do. I hit Wikipedia before you got here.
Uh-oh.
You played for Malmo.
Played against Malmo.
Oh, okay. Have you seen the new movie about Zlatan when he was there?
Yeah, Becoming Zlatan. Yeah.
And I know you played in that league. I mean, did you, you know, see that movie and see like, oh yeah, I was there and
yeah, it was actually kind of fun to see some of the teams he played for, played against, and remember those locker rooms and yeah, Sweden's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and you know, playing there and playing against Malmö, it's really exciting to play there.
Yeah,
and it's just, but it's tough when you're a foreigner. It's really tough to play there.
Oh yeah, I bet they take it seriously.
They take it seriously and they expect you to be. Like three times better than the local players.
Well, if you're taking a spot of one of their guys, you better be.
Yeah. It's not like America where we just bring in
right whoever
guys who are theoretically supposed to be better than us.
Oh no, I gotta be three times better than a local podcast.
one more AC St. Louis story. Speaking of foreigners coming in, we had some good players sign with us in 2009, 2010. But we got word that we'd signed a Brazilian. And a Brazilian that had played at Tottenham. Huh. The kid showed up. He was the goofiest looking kid ever. We called him the White Shadow. He was a white Brazilian, which I don't want to be racist, but we were in our mind we were thinking Ronaldinho, Ronaldo,
the samba style.
This kid was
straight out of the favelas kind of thing.
Cliche.
That wasn't this kid. And when we asked about his Tottenham career. He, like Mitch said earlier, he couldn't just show up and play at MK Dons. This kid apparently did just show up, and they let him train with them one day.
Okay.
That was his time at Tottenham.
He probably put that on his
resume.
He did. Yeah. He did. So, it'd be like you putting MK Dons on yours.
Right. No, that would held more water, I think.
Because he did it more than once.
Right. And he was invited there. He didn't just stand on the sidelines and claim
Can
it.
Can I play, please?
Yeah. So, next. I got next.
Yeah. So... That was my last story, buddy.
Right. You know, at some point, we probably should do a history of...
We should write a book.
No. They don't do very well.
No, you don't make money.
How much was that last check for?
I guess it was $300 was all I made.
That's more money than I made on a book.
Pay for me and Erica's season ticket last year.
Well, there you go. That's not bad.
What are you bitching about?
I'm not bitching. Just buy it, guys.
All right.
Find it on Amazon. Matt Bird.
Yes.
Cool. Anything else?
No, I think that's all we got. It was good talking to you, Dabo.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Anytime. I think the trick, like you said, you've had other goalies on. I have to come on multiple times.
I think so.
Well, and he's got the 2-year deal.
And it helps like if there's like dinners offered. And It's a long time.
I'm a meat eater.
It's a long
that's the
time
problem.
Going on.
I don't
like, I'm sitting here.
He can come over and just eat what's left on your plate after you eat the meat. Because I know your wife still puts vegetables on there and expects you to eat it.
After you push them aside.
Right. No, I do all the cooking, so there's no vegetables.
There's none at all.
So they're in your napkin.
It's rice, and tonight was rice and chicken. There's no vegetables.
The nutritional white rice, I'm sure.
No, it was like a rice pilaf.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's fancy.
Dude, I can cook. Look at me, I'm fat. Yeah, you know, so I can't say, oh, I'll put something on the smoker pit because that's lost. So
yeah,
we'll see.
No, just like throw a mushroom in there.
Again.
Quinoa.
These things are not in my household. You're looking wrong house here, bro.
Well, we look forward to 2017. Look forward to having you back on the pod.
Yeah, let's get excited for Saturday.
Good times.
We will be there.
See ya. Večeras posebno me radi, sad to priđi malo tu.